I'd like for you to bear with me tonight because I don't know just exactly where I'll go, what I'll say. I just want to talk to you a little bit. Had a terrific load to carry in the last few months, the last few years. The last few months, been a crushing load. God has stood with us, helped us to survive. We have been, Paul said, in peril of everything. People have found fault with us, our neighborhood, in the law, in our family, in our loved ones, in our friends on the island, around America, in the foreign places. Why? There's no reason. We haven't done anything to them nor bothered them. But why did they do that to Jesus? The Bible said, why do the heathens rage and imagine vain things? Is it not because they've gathered against his Christ? So then the war isn't against me, nor am I despised because it is me, but because it is Christ in my heart, then am I despised. Paul said, for God hath chosen me that Christ might be revealed in my life. So then am I despised, but I take joy and pleasure in my infirmities. All of these things. All right, in the 7th chapter of the book of Job, the first verse, is there not an appointed time to man upon earth? Are not his days also like the days of a hireling? As a servant earnestly desireth the shadow, and as a hireling looketh for the reward of his work, so am I made to possess months of vanity. And wearisome nights are appointed to me. When I lie down, I say, when shall I arise, and the night be gone? And I am full of tossing to and fro under the dawning of the day. My flesh is clothed with worms and clods of dust. My skin is broken and become loathsome. My days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle and are spent without hope. Oh, remember that my life is wind. Mine eyes shall no more see good. The eye of him that hath seen me shall see me no more. Thine eyes are upon me, and I am not. As the cloud is consumed and vanisheth away, so he that goeth down to the grave shall come up no more. He shall return no more to his house, neither shall his place know him any more. Therefore I will not refrain my mouth. I will speak in the anguish of my spirit. I will complain the bitterness of my soul. Am I a sea or a whale that thou settest the watch over me? When I say my bed shall comfort me, my couch shall ease my complaint, then thou scarest me with dreams and terrifiest me through visions, so that my soul chooseth strangling and death rather than my life. I loathe it, I would not live always. Let me alone, for my days are vanity. What is man that thou shouldest magnify him, and that thou shouldest set thine heart upon him, and that thou shouldest visit him every morning and try him every moment? How long wilt thou not depart from me, nor let me alone till I swallow down my spittle? I have sinned, what shall I do unto thee, O thou preserver of men? Why hast thou set me as a mark against these, so that I am a burden to myself? And why dost thou not pardon my transgression and take away mine iniquity? For now shall I sleep in the dust, and thou shalt seek me in the morning, but I shall not be. Now, you know, when we read this, see this, we're made to understand that this is a prophetical utterance coming from within Job. I know it is Job making his complaint, but in reality, it is a prophetical utterance that is speaking of the future sufferings of the Lord Jesus Christ. The reason it speaks after the fashion that it does is because he was made sin, and his crucifixion was to be the overthrowing of sin and the consummation of evil in doing away with the powers of Satan and of death. That's why it reads thus. Now, a lot of things that I could say to you tonight. My heart is enlarged toward you. And there's a lot of things that I could say to you. I could preach to you, teach you, maybe go into hours of teaching or preaching. But I want to try to talk with you a few minutes and try to bring to your remembrance a few things that I have spoken in the past. This was on my heart to do that tonight. And in doing it, I want to bring about a few publications in the paper. And a very few things, you know, that is of late I've heard. Just a few substantiations for what I have spoke. Now, I've said a lot of things. I think you'll agree to that. A lot of things. And so far God has honored and blessed the things that I have said. The Bible said in the days of Samuel that God did not allow anything that he said to fall to the ground. God has been very gracious to me and blessed me. He hath revealed to me, he has spoken to me. How many of you believe that the Spirit of God or the Holy Ghost will show you things to come? All right, God has shown me things to come, and I've spoke of it numbers of times. And I've said some things that seem to be wild, way out in left field, as someone would say, that had no foundation and certainly no future. Also, things that I have spoken of that were so wild, unbelievable, contrary, as the world would say, and the Bible scholars withstood me on it, and learned men in every religious sect. I've had disputes with almost all of them in the things of God, in that Paul said, I am set for the defense of the gospel. Not for strife. You're not supposed to do anything for strife. Not for vain glory, to prove who knows the most. But out of the love of God. And I want to relate just a few things tonight if I can. Just a few thoughts and reminiscing, going back, and a few present day publications to prove that what I said is true. How many of you believe that the voice of the Lord is in the land? Let me see hand. It is in the land. The Bible tells us that God has, in times past, sundry times and divers manners, he has spoken unto us by the prophets, but hath in this last day spoken unto us by his Son Jesus, which means the membership of the body of the church. You're a bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh, members in particular. He has spoken unto us by the Holy Ghost, in that the Bible teaches they shall all be taught of God. When the minister is speaking, the Bible teaches it is not him that speaketh, but it is God. So then we use the terms that a greater than Solomon is here. A greater than the prophets of old is here. Far greater, because it is Christ himself. If it is God that teacheth today, the very God. God is within his temple and you're that temple. Let all the world keep silent. Well, they shall all be taught of God. Isn't that wonderful? To know that when we come to church, we don't listen anymore to individuals, but we listen to God. That we're not to know any man after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Not to know him as an individual, but to know him as the body of Christ. Or as the body of Satan, depending on which one he is. So then, it is a wonderful thing to come into the revelation of Jesus Christ. The greatest thing that ever happened to me is when I came into the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the greatest thing that ever happened outside of my new birth. I have, since that time, been able to understand God, to understand the programs and plans of God, to understand what he meant and what he means, what he hath done, what he is doing, and what he is going to do. And though I'm criticized for it, though fault is found with me for it, and though many men talk and women talk about me, it doesn't make any difference, I know anyhow. Hallelujah. It's like a great rich man. You say he's the pauper. But he knows that he's got gold and silver because he knows where it's at. So it doesn't matter to him. As long as he knows. The Bible tells us that we know that we pass from death unto life. How do we know it? Because I love Brother Gonzalez. I love you, my brethren. That's my proof. Hallelujah. Now then, as I said, I can pick out a scripture tonight and go into it, preach you a message, and say some things to you. We sometimes do that. But I want to relate to you just carefully and slowly some things. And I want you to listen real careful. These things I'm about to relate is things that anybody can understand. If I get into the deep mysteries of God, people can't understand those too well. But these are things that anybody can understand. Whereas I might get into some mysteries tonight, there's some in my heart I'd like to bring to you, and I might just do it. But the thing is, I want to relate these things for a confirmation of what we've already said. I made some statements like this, and they were wild, very, very wild. I said that the government of the United States would crumble. It's a big statement. Somebody would say, well, anybody could know that. Yeah, but I said some more outside of that. I said that it would crumble, and that in the middle of this year would mark the end of it. You say, well, anybody could tell that, but I said some more. I said that the government of the United States will move from Washington to Atlanta, Georgia. Anybody couldn't tell that. Only God would know that. You see, in Atlanta, Georgia, a number of years ago, there was no signs of that at all, none at all. When I made the statement, there was no signs that I know of or no indications that Atlanta was going to become the principal city of the world. But I said she will become the principal city. And I said she will become the international city. Since then, they have made her the international city. I said they will bring a waterway into Atlanta, Georgia, and the papers published that they had found a waterway to Atlanta, Georgia. I said that the other cities would fall, not only the cities, but the nations of the world. But that Atlanta, Georgia would be held up, and that the way that God would bring it to pass is that the Arabs would become interested in Atlanta, Georgia. And the papers published a few days ago that the Arabs had become interested in Atlanta, Georgia. I said that the foreign powers would hold her up through purchases and investments and money, majorly the black people. Brother Zale reminded me today that there was a publication in the paper where some foreign power or whatever it was had made a great purchase. We have learned that people, I believe it's China and some of the other leading nations, has placed money in the Bank of Atlanta. Since I said that Atlanta would become the government or the place of the new government and that Washington would fall, they have built in Atlanta, Georgia, the biggest Congress building in the world. Since I said that, Kissinger, the first one to ever do it, came to Atlanta, Georgia, had the people from the foreign nations to congregate in Atlanta, Georgia for the first time and ask permission to continue. And we made the statement that he would pave the way for Antichrist. These things have come to pass already. I said that Atlanta, Georgia would burn. Immediately the paper published an article that showed Nero fiddling while Rome burned and put Atlanta, Georgia. Coincidental or not, they did it. I said it has to do with Rome. It'll become a little Rome. Have you understood what I'm saying now? I said that the
government was a white government that symbolized Washington, the spirit of truth, that was in Washington, D.C. But I made the statement that they would try to bomb the Capitol. Immediately the paper stated they did. And I said that the white government will completely go out. And that there will be a black government that will come up. And that black government will take over, and the black man will be in rule. The middle of this year marks it. I told you that. I said, watch the middle of this year. I said the government will move from Washington to Atlanta, Georgia. Already, a man by the name of Jimmy Carter, that was a nobody, has sprang up to a great somebody all of a sudden and shot out ahead of everybody. Is that right? Why did that happen? I thought in my heart, Lord, it has to do with Kennedy and the coming back of that head. I was looking at the picture of Carter and I thought the similarity is so striking. I thought, Lord, this has to do with Jackie Kennedy and this Ted Kennedy. All of it is one. We'll get to that later. But at any rate, these things have happened. Atlanta has suddenly became the most outstanding place around the world. All of a sudden, represented as Stone Mountain, the little stone, the headstone, hewed out of the mountain, growing till it fills all the world, is a wonder of God. I said that the government would move to Atlanta, Georgia, and it would be a black man's government. Is that right? I have the papers today that was brought to me that shows and states that the black man's votes has put Jimmy Carter out ahead. I said that when the black man comes, I said he will represent two things. In his natural, fallen side of life, he will represent the beast coming from the Garden of Africa that was brought over from on a Dutch ship into America as a type of the garden. Now, I said in the good side of him, in that people represent one thing in one side as bad and one side as good, I said in the good side of him, he would represent the Jew. And the Jew being the head of the nation, the rod of iron ruling government, that the black government of Atlanta, Georgia would rule the world. And the black man would hold it up. And that she would become a Sodom and Gomorrah, a Babylon. And they built that tower up there. I found out the Arabs stood behind that too. Now I want you to listen. These things are happening fast. The Bible tells us when we see all of these things come to pass, to look up, for our redemption is nigh. I have preached to you by spiritual revelation and allegoric comparison that the redemption of the body was near. Is that right? I've proven it to you by the Holy Scriptures and by revelation that it's near. Now, I said that it would center around Atlanta, Georgia, because Atlanta, Georgia is the place that we refer to as gone with the wind, the rapture. Is that right? The seven bridges has to do with the church ages. Is that right? And Stone Mountain with the little stone. They have not put up a sixth flag, but they have put up the flags of the nation to show that she's coming in there, just like God has it ordained. Now, the little place named Rome close by is not coincidental. Now then, They have made a new discovery. Jimmy Carter was a nobody. Now all of a sudden he's become a somebody. And whereas it looked like it was impossible for the government to change over from Washington, from a white man's government to a black man's government, in that it has to do that, though it looked impossible, yet it is converting over. Atlanta's become an outstanding place. The home of Martin Luther King. The home of the greatest home run hitter in the world. All black folks. Great, outstanding people. They have learned that the black votes has just recently put Jimmy out ahead. They have learned, I said that it had to do with the Jews. How many remember that? They have learned that his treasurer is a Jew. That one of the great Jews of California backed him up and stood behind him. And that one of the principles of his runnings is he favors the Jews in Palestine and they favor him. Now you say, but what does that have to do with it, Brother Pike? This is kind of shocking. But the paper states that the same Jimmy Carter who seems to favor Kennedy so much is believed to be an illegitimate child of Joseph Kennedy. They proved it by their statements in the paper of a young secretary from Atlanta, Georgia, going to work for Joseph at a certain time, the year maybe 23, 24, returning, giving birth to Jimmy Carter. They have found out that they're strikingly alike in their appearance. Not only that, but Jimmy and Teddy is beginning to have fellowship. And Ted said that he would stand behind the administration of Jimmy. Now it is believed, according to the papers, that he may pull Ted in as the vice president. That's right. That's right. Somebody said that's a real coincidence. It really is. The deadly wound was healed. I thought, Lord, it's got to have to do with Kennedy. Now, what does that point out? That if John F. Kennedy, the son of Joseph, and we said this was the Joseph Age, membership in particular. Is that right? If John F. Kennedy died in office, he was still the president, wasn't he? He could still come back up in Atlanta, Georgia and still be president. Because the last fellow that was put in wasn't elected in as president. Are you listening? The others forfeited their right to the presidency. Check it out and see, according to the law. Here he comes back up over here, moving the presidency or the great leadership of the government from Washington, D.C. to Atlanta, Georgia. Killed there, resurrected over here. In Atlanta, Georgia. They feel that they can positively prove that he is the brother of Ted and of John. They have learned that, and I have the pictures of it, I received them today, that Jimmy is altogether for the black man. The picture shows he and Martin King's daddy embraced. It gives in detail the things that took place. It also shows him with other black figures and how that he has always stood with the black man. They went back and checked his past. He believed in the integration of the black into the church. And they boycotted his business because of it when they had the racial strife. I said that the power that come in would be a black power. I said that the government that come in would rule with a rod of iron, would be the last typical government to come on the face of the earth before the rapture of the church. That it would be a cruel government, a short-lived government, a government of vengeance. It is coming to pass. I said Atlanta, Georgia would burn by revelation. I could see it. And then I had a night vision and a voice said to me, said Atlanta, Georgia will burn. Said Atlanta, Georgia is finished. We just got a report a few days ago from some that are on the inside of things that it is ruthless, reckless, and hardly anything is there except sodomites as far as having control. The underground Atlanta has been revived. The gone with the wind, as we speak of, typifying the rapture of the church, in that when the fire falls, the church is going somewhere. Now we could say this is coincidental, Brother Pike. All of these things taking place, it's just a coincidence. But it's not a coincidence. It's a divine providence of the living God. It is the Spirit of truth that foresees and foretells, and when it comes to pass, it has to be God. There's only one Spirit of truth. Not spirit of error, but Spirit of truth. People who oppose it and people who fight it are of the devil. Because they that fight truth are of the devil. For Jesus said you must love the truth. And if you have not a love for the truth, I will turn you over to reprobate mind, let you believe your own thinking and what you want to, and die and go to hell. These things are taking place. There is a number of things tonight that I could bring out that has come out in publications. Some of them I'd like to, but I probably won't. Maybe I will a little later. A number of things that come out in publications that has to do with Russia and with the Jews. One of them also states that at this very present hour that the Jews are beginning to immigrate into America. It's a special immigration of Jews into America. Now, Jews has come in and out before, but this is a special thing according to the paper. Why is all of this happening? Why is it? I had a vision that there was such a great drought that everything turned to powder and the Spirit of God lifted. And the voice made me to know that you couldn't preach a sermon or write a book. It was too late. I believe it. Brother James has got a clipping for me now. I haven't seen it, but I was told he's got a clipping. There was a $600 million loss in Minnesota. Is that right, brother? From the papers. $12 million in Oklahoma. That these things happen, and I believe they recorded that some of the pictures showed that it turned to powder and to dust, the same way we spoke of. I made the statement when we come, made that great circle going out to California. I said the judgments of God will start striking the earth, and immediately they recorded that more tornadoes had hit than ever had been recorded in the history of the entire nation or the world. Over 60 at one time. It tore up everything everywhere. From that time, there's been earthquakes, one right after another, hitting everywhere. A couple of them just hit China. Since that time, epidemics and diseases and all kinds of bugs and mosquitoes and everything else seems to be swarming in. Problems, heartaches, woes. The paper states that epidemics that's not been known in our lifetime, that was way back many years ago, has all of a sudden come back to the front in such a great outstanding thing that even the president wanted to give shots to the people. Now what is it? It's because of the end of the world. When we went up to Washington, D.C. and sat there in Congress, I made the statement when I said, when we return, I said there will be a complete change in the government. There will be a complete change in the church world. There will be a complete change in the universe, even in the solar system. It is happening exactly that way. Scientists have recorded the change, and it's outstanding and unbelievable, but it's happened. Now, what is it? It's because the Lord is making known to the church the mind of Christ, because it's going to take the mind of Christ to translate the bride. The redemption of the body is at hand. I'm glad tonight that I'm on the inside looking out. I'm glad. I'm glad that I can see it, that I know it's true, that He's made known to me His will, desire, and the good things of God. While others fight and fume and fuss and try to prove that there's nothing else in it, God isn't going to do anything, God doing it just as fast as He can. While others have said quit and sit down and don't do anything, the Bible keeps saying, occupy till I come, and blessed is the servant I so find doing. I'll make him rule over all I got. I find him feeding my people when I come back. Many of them that have sat down and said there was nothing to it have come back and said, Brother Pike, I said there wasn't anything to it, but before God I've come to learn that I was wrong, that there is. Brethren, you've not seen anything yet. Just wait a little longer. If you don't believe that the things we spoke of are coming to pass, and that they're going to affect you right here at Little Bethlehem, just hold on a little longer and see. There's going to be a power that is going to come up. I spoke of how it would come up. I related to you each step it would take. One of the major steps will be as the black man moves into the law. He will take over through the law. As he does, there's going to be vengeance in his heart. The black man will stop at nothing to see that their government comes in. They will kill if they have to do it. Now watch and see what I'm telling you. It wouldn't make any difference if they put Ronald Reagan's in or Ford in or anybody else in. They're going to see to it that that other government comes in. Now watch and see if they have to assassinate, kill, or whatnot. Now, God has ordained that there be a black government in the earth, a black power that's going to take over. It's going to be the black Muslim power that's going to do it. Even the great fighter, the boxer, favored Jimmy Carter and stood with him, and he's a known Muslim. While the Kennedys are known Catholics, they have no fellowship. Catholics and Muslims have no fellowship at all. But look at them coming together. If he is an illegitimate child, then that brings in the bastard child. Isn't that right? That couldn't even enter into the congregation of God under 14 generations. So then, it is evident that the things that we've been telling you and pointing out unto you are coming to pass in leaps and bounds. Did you know the paper stated that they have made a survey and 80% of the cases of rape is the black man? It's a proven statistical fact. Raping white women on elevators, in colleges, in open places, they're doing it. Attacking them while people look at them. Now, what does this mean? It is typical of the beast that overthrew Eve in the garden. Coming in, all of this rumble and jumbled music, this rock and roll, these drums, this beat, this dancing coming from out of the bungalows of Africa. It's the beast taking over. The black man represents that. Now, that is not an accusation against our black brothers, nor against the black man. You know that I have preached here that everyone that rejects God is that beast. He's the nearest thing to a man. The nearest thing to a man. When Jesus hung at Calvary, it was symbolic. Now, the nearest thing to a man is a beast, whether he be black, whether he be white, whether he be called a Jew, or whatever he is, if he's not a son of God, he is a beast. And he in that garden was the nearest thing to a man. And this garden today that we're living in, this world today that we're living in this garden, there is the nearest thing to a son of God. He goes to church, he tithes, he does everything the same way that Cain did, but he is a beast. You remember the message that I brought on the covering of his glory? Something has happened that is to come back around in this latter time in its multiplied way. In the types and the shadows of what spiritually is taking place. I want you to look at something for just a minute. We want to make a little comparison, then we'll let you go. I was just going to talk to you a little tonight. Why was it in the garden that Adam and Eve made the statement that we are naked? Why did they do that? Why? Somebody would say, well, it was because they were, Brother Pike. That wasn't it. Because they'd been in that condition all the time. And they'd never said anything about it, nor thought anything about it. So that wasn't it at all. What did the Lord say to them? The Lord said, why was you hiding? They said, because we were naked. The Lord said, who told thee that thou wast naked? That's where it came from. You understand what I'm saying? In other words, they never knew it by sight because they were in a hallowed place. There is no nakedness with God. It's holy, pure, righteous. But somebody had told them. There was a doctrine, there was a word. There was a corruption from somewhere. There was a knowledge from somewhere that had told them this thing. Now, I want you to see something just for a minute. Who told thee? That's what the voice said. Who told thee? They said, Lord, we put the fig leaves on us because we knew that we were in this kind of condition and we wanted to hide ourselves. But now tell me this. Why should Adam want to hide himself from his wife? Why should his wife want to hide herself from Adam? There was no more women in the garden. There was no more men in the garden. See, that wasn't what it was. You understand what I'm saying? There was no reason, even if they knew that they were not dressed, there was no reason of condemnation. You see what I mean? It was more than just seeing. There was something that happened down here in their heart. They were under condemnation because it wasn't the covering of the natural that they had lost because they had not had any covering of the natural. Have you understand what I'm saying? All of the invisible things of God from the creation of the world are clearly understood by the things which do appear. It wasn't because they were without clothing. They had been that way all the time. And they'd not been upset about it. Neither had it bothered them. But a knowledge had got into their heart. Who told thee that thou wast naked? It wasn't the loss of the outer garment. That wasn't it. Because they never had an outer garment. But it was the loss of an inner garment. Have you understand what I'm saying? It was the loss of the spiritual covering of the Shekinah glory of God. They felt under condemnation because they'd lost that covering from God. that heavenly innocency. Oh, hallelujah, I feel the Holy Ghost. That great spiritual covering that God had given. That spirit was covered with the meekness and love, the pureness. Whereas the Bible said God purifies our heart by faith, the covering had been lost. I'm not going to preach a sermon on that. We got that on, not that, but we got a sermon on the covering of His glory. You understand what I'm saying, some of you? But now listen, folks. That's where the trouble is today. You understand what I'm saying? How have you followed me? See, the covering, when the woman cuts off her hair, what is it? Her covering is gone. Somebody would say, but Brother Pike, how can a woman's hair be a covering? Because the woman's hair represents the glory. And the glory is the government. You say, what kind of government? The government of her husband. Her hair represents her covering. That the government is upon her shoulders of the church. Christ, the covering of the head of Christ. For the head of every woman is the covering. How many understand what I'm saying? Somebody say, what do you mean the covering? You talking about the hair on the top of her head? You know that's not what I'm talking about. That woman is under the covering of the mind and the spirit and the power and the authority of her husband. And when she rejects it and resents it, she's lost out with God. She can weep, she can moan, she can cry, she can plead and say, God's going to save me. But the Bible teaches the woman is saved through her husband. He's her head. How many understand what I'm saying? So then, it is the covering. It's on her shoulders. It represents His authority over her. That she is covered with a Shekinah. That she has the glory of God upon her. That's why the devil wants her to cut it off, ball it up, stick it on your head, put it in pin curls, do anything but get it off the shoulders, the devil says. Because as long as it's on your shoulders, that shows something that concerning Christ. Because the government is upon the shoulders of the church. I like that, don't you? From glory to glory. Hallelujah, God moving us from glory to glory, Bill. Right on into the glories of the living God. As those that behold themselves in a mirror are seeing Christ in a glass from glory to glory, we're changed into the glorious image of the lovely Son of God. Hallelujah. What a great, wonderful thing. Now, I said I was going to talk with you. Now I'm getting to preaching. But anyway, what I'm saying, brethren, see, the church has lost its covering. What does that mean? That means that gross darkness shall cover the church. Are you following me? See, if the woman loses the covering. Now, have you got this a minute? I made the statement, look at the Catholic Church. Why do they put a veil on? Why do they put that thing on their head like they do? It is a false covering. That's what God put on Adam and Eve's skins. They put fig leaves on. But they didn't need no fig leaves. They hadn't fell to the water world. Leaves are for trees. They hadn't fell to the water rim. They had fell to the blood rim. That's where the beast was. And God put skins on them. So that's the rim they were in. So then, inasmuch as the Catholics is that in-between rim. You know, the Jews over here, the Protestant over here, and the Catholics in between. That dark veil, those clothes they used to wear. Now, nothing against the people, a lot of good people that have been converted over. Brother Al Gonzalez converted over in the Catholic Church. Jesus man. Now, but what I'm saying is, that covering over their head is because the nuns, they shave their heads. So they have to have a covering. But the Bible said they cover with a covering that's not of my spirit. What spirit is it? It's the spirit of darkness. Gross darkness shall cover the people. In the end time, Somebody would say, but Brother Pike, in the end time it shall come to pass, there shall be light. Sure, unto them that sat in the regions of the shadow of darkness and death, great light has sprang up unto them. To the church, yes. You follow me? So then, what I'm saying is, when Eve rejected that covering, she lost the covering of her husband. To show that the church had rejected the covering of Christ. And when the man's words, the man's authority, when you reject it, when you go contrary to it, lady, God has made you a woman to show a type of the church. And if you're contrary to your husband, then you are a type of the harlot church. But if you're good and obedient to your husband, you're a type of the true church, the bride of Christ. If a man is a good, holy man that worships authority over the wife with the word, he's a type of Christ. If he's got that old, dark, carnal, beastly mind of his, he worships authority over her because of lust, then he's got the mind of the devil. And he shows the devil. Now, see what I'm saying is? The covering. There is a spiritual covering that is over the church. And it is called the covering of his spirit. When the Jews fell, what church came in? The Catholics. What was it? They had to put a covering on, a false covering. Because when Eve fell, they had to have a covering. But in the end time, when the Protestants come, what is it? It's the resurrection of Christ. It's the covering of his spirit. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous flee into it and are safe. What is the covering of the saints? He said it's the righteousness of Christ. Being not found in our own righteousness, said this is the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. So then, in the covering, the saints' garment. When the woman is under the jurisdictional power of her husband, she is under the covering of God, because it is through him to her that she is covered and she is protected. Her spirit is the weaker spirit, subject to demons and devils of all kinds that present themselves to her in the form of thoughts. But they that are strong, which refers to the man, the type of Christ, have exercised their senses when it comes to thoughts, and are able to discern between good and evil and choose the meat, which is for the strong. So then his strong spirit is a covering to her weak spirit, which means Christ's strong spirit is a covering. His spirit is my covering. When I falter, when I fail, when I stumble, when I stagger, and I don't do it willfully, but ignorantly I stumble and I'm overtaken in a fault, then I look to the covering of the blood. For God had Israel under the blood. And by day, there was the great cloud, which was his spirit, symbolically speaking. There was the blood, which was the fire by night. If I'm in my carnal mind, I've not been born again, then there's the blood covering. What is it? It's Calvary. Calvary. Over the just and the unjust in the days of grace. It's there. But when Israel sinned, the cloud moved way back off and the tabernacle moved. Why? He said, if two or three gather together in my name, I will be in the midst of you. The tabernacle of God will come to you. But when they sinned, it got way off. Isn't that right? God was chiding with the people. Judgment hit. Now, that cloud was a cloud by day. I want you to listen just for a few minutes, and I'm going to close. That cloud was a cloud by day, not by night. It was a pillar of fire by night. But it was still the same cloud. It was still the same cloud. It's like a cloud in the elements when lightning intermingles with it. It's a cloud of friction and fire. But when the lightning isn't there, it's a cloud of refreshing. The cloud of fire means judgment, lightning. As the lightning flashes from the east into the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. That is a day of judgment. See, they were under the covering. From the time they fell in the garden, the lamb was killed, and the priest of old, what did they get? They got the skin. Is that right? When the beast was killed, they got the skin. They got the covering. It was given to them. And when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, God slew a lamb, and he put a covering on them. And that blood was a covering. You say, where do you get that? Because it is said that when Cain killed Abel, he said, thy brother's blood crieth to me from the ground. The life is in the blood. The blood is the covering. What does that mean? That Jesus is the manifested Word of God. It is the blood where the Spirit and the mind of God is. It's in that blood that God projects the Word, which Jesus said is Spirit and life, for the life is in the blood. And that's our covering. As long as that's on the mercy seat, the world can get by. Because it is a cloud by day. When I'm in the mind of Christ, that's the day. But if I get in the mind of man, that's the night. God reckons time from that evening until morning. From the fall in the garden, they went into the beast's mind. The man's mind has been dark ever since. Jesus came at Calvary, little candle, said, I'm the light of the world. Then he said, I'm going away, but I'm going to light some candles first like the old lamp lighter. And when I go away, you'll be the light of the world. Isn't that right? So then, the covering is there. Then it is the life. It is the life. We could go into a lot tonight. My. What a lot we could go into. But just to bring a brief thought and try to close out for sure here. The covering of the life, the blood. A true man would protect his wife with his very life. He would lay down his life for her. That is true. He would spill his blood for her. That covering that I spoke of, that mind, which is a spirit, it is a spiritual mind, the revelation of Jesus Christ. John called it on the Isle of Patmos when he was resurrected from the dead. He said in the book of Revelation, the revelation of Jesus Christ. It is the revelation. Paul said, may God grant unto you what? The spirit of his covering. Why? What did Paul call it? May God grant unto you the spirit of revelation. That's what he said. That's a covering. That's the mind of Christ. Let it be in you that's also in Christ Jesus. I like that, don't you? Hallelujah. If you've not got the spirit of revelation, you need to get it. Because it's a covering. So then, there is a lot that could be said tonight. I want you to think on this in closing. There was a Moses. There was a Joshua. There was a Jesus. There was a Christ. There was a Cain. There was an Abel. There was an Esau. There was a Jacob. There is a man and there is a woman. There is a boy and there is a girl. How do you understand what I'm saying? There is a husband and there is a wife. And I got children in that family. The whole family is named Jesus. Since it's a membership of his body, the reproduction of his own image. Now, Elijah, there was an Elisha. Why? There was a pillar of fire. By night. What was that? That was the move of God. When God sent Brother Branham, the great prophet of God, among the people through the denominations. That's what it was. He came up with the Baptist church as John the Baptist, the forerunner of the coming of the body. The voice said so. And as it came up, it was a pillar of fire. And it was over the audience. It was through the darkness. What kind of darkness? The carnal mind. Because the people were in the carnal mind. Moses took them out of Egypt. But not into Canaan. He took them into the wilderness. Why was that? He picked them up in Egypt. When Brother Branham got them, he got them in Egypt. Did you know there's nothing that he ever joined except the full gospel businessmen that we know of? He joined the full gospel businessmen. Where was the headquarters? It was California. What is California in Revelation? It's Egypt. He picked them up in Egypt through denominations. Isn't that right? He picked them up in the world. The people knew nothing really of religion. They were in the world. But the people did not follow him into the revelation of God. They got real religious and made him a bunch of denominations. He even said of his own followers, within 3 years, they'll be a denomination. They didn't follow him to the revelation of Christ that God placed in his heart. Neither did the people that followed Moses. The people followed Moses, but not God. You say, you can't prove that, but I can prove it. They followed Moses, but not God. They still do it today. You say, how do you get that? Because God said, Moses, your people. Come on, folks. He didn't say, my people are down in the valley. Did he? Sinning? He said, Moses, your followers. He said, I'm about to kill all of them. If he'd do that to Moses' followers, he'd do that to me and you too. Somebody said, well, you don't really believe it. God would kill all them people. He just said that. No, he didn't just say that. Somebody said, but he repented and didn't do it. He did do it. The Bible said not one of those elders got out. Not one of them. Joshua and Caleb was the only ones that was numbered with the youth. For the Bible said they were of another spirit. Come on, folks. The rest of them died. Why? Because, as I said, that covenant was broken. Moses throwed it down. It was broken. It was gone. They didn't keep it. They were his followers, but they were not God's followers. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? See, that answers to the tree of knowledge. You can't keep the law. That goes back to the law. No man can keep the law. All right, now, when I say that to be justified thereby, now here was Christ. That was the other covenant. When Moses went back up there, Joshua was with Moses. The Bible said he was. When Moses left the tabernacle that was way off in out here, when God had rejected the followers of Moses and moved that tabernacle off in the wilderness and Moses walked out of that tabernacle, the Bible said Joshua stayed. God had rejected him. And the tabernacle moved and Moses left. But Joshua, the Bible said, stayed in the tabernacle. Now what is that? Somebody said, that's the Holy Ghost. Sure, that's the Holy Ghost. That was the Holy Ghost talking to Moses. That was the Holy Ghost talking to Joshua. That was the Holy Ghost talking to Brother Branham. That was the Holy Ghost talking to every man of God that God ever raised up. It's not you that speaketh, but God. Every minister, it is God speaking. Now then, when the second covenant come down, it was a covering. The first woman did like Eve. She rejected her covering. God gave her that law for a covering. She rejected it. Isn't that right? The earth opened up and swallowed them. Isn't that what's happened to the world today? Your bodily lust has opened up and swallowed you. You're made out of the dust. It's swallowed your spirit up. It's actually swallowed you up. But now when the second covenant came, that covenant was not to Moses, nor to Moses' followers. Because Moses' followers died in the wilderness. That first covenant was the law that answered to the tree of knowledge, saying, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, thou shalt not, but they did. But that last covenant came by grace because God was not obligated to give them another covenant. He did it by grace. It represented the resurrected Christ. That covenant Joshua took, and there's no record where he broke it. There's no record where his people broke it. They went right into Canaan. The Bible said God hearkened unto the voice of Joshua as he had never hearkened to the voice of a man. When he said, son, stand still. Somebody said, Brother Pye, You don't mean to tell me that Joshua was greater than Moses. Well, what are we going to do about the Christ and the Jesus? Tell me which was the greatest. If you want to bring it down to shoe strings and hair strings and split hairs, who was the greatest, Jesus or the Christ? Moses was rejected, the prophet like unto Jesus. Jesus was made sin, rejected of God to become the atonement. But Christ was accepted of God. Isn't that right? How many understand what I'm saying? So then there was a pillar of fire. That fire was by night. But in the daytime it was the same cloud. But the fire wasn't there because it wasn't a wrath. It was the mercies of God bringing the church into Canaan. That's what made the difference. The second covenant is grace. So then what I'm saying is that when Brother Branham got him out of Egypt, out of the world, he tried to carry him into the Canaan land of God. But what did they do? They turned it into a denominational wilderness. They fussed and feud and fumed and disputed and brought it down to a law of the letter and dispute with everybody over it. In a law of the letter, instead of using grace like the prophet did and accepting the people and trying to lead the people and helping the people, they've literally massacred them. That's what the law did. That's not God's pleasure. What God wants is the grace. He's trying to help us. It is true that the woman represents the fall, but that don't make her a garbage can. I've heard people say, Brother Branham said she's a garbage can. That's a lie. Brother Branham never said that. He spoke of a polluted woman. The Bible said a righteous woman's price is far beyond that of rubies. She is a crown to her husband. You ought to love her as Christ loved himself. I feel good, don't you? Somebody said, there you go bragging on that woman. You know why I'm doing that? Because that woman represents you and me. That makes me feel better. Hallelujah. Somebody said, but God don't care that much about the woman. Well, why did he spill his blood for her? He thinks an awful lot of her. I'll tell you what, he thinks enough of her that these people that set up tents and different things, and I'm not critical of tents. I say this again, a lot of deliverance going under them. I like to preach under myself. But these people that run God's people through like a bunch of pigs and a herd of cattle, slapping them and pushing them over, God don't want that. You don't treat his wife like that. You treat her like a lady. You don't dispute with her, bother her, and tear her all to pieces and leave her all torn down on some of your ideology. God gave her grace. We're her instructor. Heifers of her faith, not lord over God's heritage, just a heifer of your faith. That's all. You love the Lord? All right. So then, there is a day of grace. That brings the vision back to me. When I had the vision and I was praying over a man I called Samuel, little child. And I had a vision and I looked and it was clearer than the noonday. And I saw that great big cloud up in heaven, so huge, intermingled with fire, just blazing with the flame of fire. And all of a sudden a great hand come out that I could not see, an invisible force, like a mother rolling a batch of dough, pinched off a great big ball of it, a huge ball of it. And like a gas-filled balloon, it began to drift. And it was so exceedingly high in the heavens, higher than any cloud could possibly be. But I saw it come down, and I thought, my, that's strange, that cloud's drifting down. And then I kept looking, I said, oh my God. I mean, I was tore up, because the vision was just like we are here, even plainer. And I said, Lord, I said, that cloud is coming all the way out of the heavens. I said, it's not stopping. It's coming down to earth. And then I watched, and it came down to me. And it came and stood over my head. But I saw the fire intermingled with fire. And as it drifted closer and closer and closer, the fire left it and left it and left it till it was a pillar of cloud, a beautiful, lovely pillar of cloud standing over my head. And then it looked like it burst and went into about five men. And I just went down inside of them. And I was so troubled, and I said, Lord, what kind of vision? I said, what is this? This don't even make sense to me. And the Lord spoke very plain and said, when the cloud was over the tabernacle, God was in the tabernacle. Every time that the cloud came over the tabernacle, and Peter said, as long as I'm in this tabernacle, let the world keep silent, because you're the temple of the Holy Ghost and God's in his temple. And I believe when it burst and went into those men, it had to do with the fivefold ministry, that a message was coming forth. Not a pillar of fire by night, but a pillar of cloud by day. I believe it's daylight. You're children of the day, not of darkness. Denominationalism and worldly, all them kind of things that Brother Branham went to, that was a bunch of children of darkness. People of Egypt, separated from God 400 and something years. But now the mind of Christ is here, not the mind of the beast. Not the mind of reasoning, not a religious thing. But the mind of Christ and the mind of revelation has come down. And this is God's day. This day star in my heart shining more and more to that millennium restoration of the perfect day of God. So then it is daylight. This is a pillar of cloud by day, a refreshing. It's God's grace. It is that same wonderful water of life without the judgments added. You see what I'm talking about? Without the judgments added. That's how Joshua got into Canaan when Moses didn't. Because the judgments was taken away. Somebody said, I don't see that, but it's true. You say, how was it taken away? By killing Moses. Somebody said, prove it. The Bible said it went ill with Moses for the sake of Moses. No. That wasn't what it said, was it? It said it went ill with Moses for the sake of the people. Jesus didn't die for himself. Adam never sinned. The Bible said he wasn't in the transgression, but it went ill with Adam because of his wife. God told him to smite the rock. That wasn't what it was. He told him to go smite. Somebody said, speak to it. He told him to smite it too. Check it and see. Now, you say, why? What do you mean by that? It had to be smitten because the Bible said that rock that followed them was Christ Jesus, and we esteem him smitten of God, and Moses was made God unto Aaron. It was God smiting Jesus. Then you say, well, why was it God cut him off? For this reason. The Bible said, for he glorified not God in the presence of the people. Wasn't that what happened to Jesus? Somebody said, but he did glorify God. But the Bible said he was made sin. And God covered his face and couldn't look on him. He died with the common criminals. Isn't that right? You say, but that was glorifying God. But why does the Bible say that Jesus endured the cross, despising the glory thereof, said the shame thereof? But he did it for the joys of the glory that was set before him. That was the resurrected Christ. How do you understand what I'm saying? So then there's so many things that I could say, but there's one thing for sure. This is the right way. This is the right way. I believe that the true revelation of God will allow for every move of God from the garden slap on to the rapture of the church. And if you can't get every one of them in it, there's something wrong with your doctrine. God isn't dead. Somebody said, who is this living in my soul? God's still here, my brother. Let the world keep silent. God is in his temple. I want you to stand with me. The covering will make us to know that we're not found naked. Knowest thou eyes with eyes, say, knowest thou not that thou art naked, wretched and blind and miserable? But when we have the covering of his sweetness upon us, the song they play, sweet spirit, sweet Holy Spirit, I want his spirit. I want to be found in his righteousness and not mine own. His word. What is his righteousness? It is his word. For the word was made flesh, and the flesh was Jesus, his righteousness. Put ye on the Lord Jesus, for it is the righteous garments of the saints. Not my body, it's dead, buried in baptism, and this is Jesus living. Not I, Paul said, but Christ within me.
the hope of glory. The life I live with the Son of God. You don't see my wretched image that's been buried beneath the water. That's gone. That's passed away. That's hid. But he sees me in the finished product of Christ. In that I am complete in the Lord. He sees me complete. Don't you love him? Hallelujah. I say things that are offensive. Paul said in many things we offend all. But not because God wants to offend. But he's trying to love us and tell us. Explain to us. All invisible things are made known by visible. How many of you know God's a 1, 2, 3? Somebody said, I believe God's a oneness. Somebody said a two-ness. Somebody said a three-ness. Don't you believe it's three gods? I said, no. No. I said, I believe in three gods. No. I believe in one God. I said, what do you believe in? I said, I believe in three and one. The Bible said there's three and these three are one. That's what I believe in. It's what the Bible says. So then, God works in types. You remember the vision about the long dresses? I had the rod in my hand. I had lost it. And I found it. The Lord said to me, ask what you will. It'll be done to you. My mother stood there and I said, Lord, give her a new dress. And I looked, but it didn't look too good. You know, there's a mini, there's a midi, and there's a maxi. God does it in threes. The covering of the church. He does that to show the dimensional moves of God. One move is nakedness in the garden. Then they finally get to a midi, which is their first step. A mini. Then they get to a midi, which is their second step. And then they get, as Brother Branham said, to the third pull, which is a maxi. Said, as I was elevated up and looked over beyond the veil and saw the ladies in the long dresses. Moses looking beyond the veil. Said, as I was with Moses, Brother Branham, I'll be with you. Making him God to the people. That was God walking in the evening time in his tabernacle. Now, I know it was God by measure. God is by measure in you. Some of our measures are smaller than others. Some are larger. Jesus had him without measure. But it's still God. It's still God. Is that right? Now, the mind of the Spirit, the measure of his understanding, is his word, his life, his power, the gospel. So then, I said I want my mother to have a dress a second time. It wasn't what I wanted, but it was much nicer than the first. Because the first had to do with the mini, but the second one, it had to do with the midi. And I thought, that's much better. But I still wasn't pleased. And I said, I want my mother to have a new dress. And I really emphasized it, and I brought that rod down. I said, have a new dress. And I looked, and there she was, fully clothed up to the neck, long sleeves, down to the ankles, and had on a midi. I was so well pleased. I turned around, and I went off. And when I went off a little ways, forgot I had that rod in my hand and started a conversation with somebody because I was so pleased. I felt a drop of rain. And I said, rain. It started raining harder. I said, rain. It started raining harder. And I forgot I had the rod in my hand and whatever I said, you know what happened. And I said, rain, rain, rain. And it just poured out, looked like by the buckets full. The latter rain and the former rain all together. I give you the first moderately, but I'll just pour it out the second time. So then, that last move was to be the maxi. That was the vision the Lord showed me, the rapture, to show that the church was fully clothed, that she had her garments all the way down to her feet. And Brother Atlee Beecher remembers the pictures that was taken of the ladies in front of this garden scene back here that I didn't know nothing about what was happening until the Lord spoke to me. And I looked, and there they stood in front of that garden scene, which is Cypress Garden in Florida. Atlee was standing there taking a picture of them. And I thought, well, now that's a beautiful sight. Those ladies, you know, all in long dresses, standing there in front of the garden, they're so holy and so pure, you know, like flowers. And as I looked, a voice said to me, said, now everything's all right. Said, everything is straightened out now, you know. And I caught myself, you know, I thought, what is this? You know, what's right? And the Lord said it all started in the garden when she found herself naked. Said now she is fully clothed. Put her back in the garden and let them dress the trees. Don't you like to dress the trees for God? Hallelujah. That's right. Preach the gospel. The leaves for the healing of the nation. You're God's trees. Like a tree that's planted by the water. I made the statement. It's that tree of life. Because that tree is planted by the waters of life. And that root drinks from the river of life. And it puts forth fruits and leaves of life. Hallelujah. And all we got to do is just dress the trees. Just dress the trees. Take the fruits off. Pick the fruits off of them, you know. Fruits of the Spirit. Not the wrong kind like Eve got, you know. Just dress the trees. That's wonderful, isn't it? I tell you what, I could say some things here that I'm not going to say that would really be enlightening with Brother Denny McLean coming back. I'll tell you. Hallelujah. I pray that God will give you the spirit of revelation and understanding in all things. Let's sing a little chorus together. You've been real patient. I need thee. Oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. I need thee now, my Savior. Oh, how I need thee. Sing it like this now. Oh, don't turn him away. Oh, don't turn him away. Oh, he has come back to your heart once again. Oh, let him in to stay. For oh, how you'll need him to plead your cause on that eternal day. Oh, list to the Savior and hear his sweet voice, and don't turn him away. You love the Lord. I want to sing a little more. And while we're singing, I want you just for a moment to step down here with me. I want thee. Oh, I want thee. Every hour I want thee. I want thee now, sweet Jesus. Oh, how I want thee. Can we sing that little chorus, I love him because he is mine? I love him because he is mine. I love him because he's divine. I will love him forever.
the Nazarene. I love him because he is mine.
Sing it with me.
I love him because he's divine. I will love him forever, it seems. Oh, he's Jesus, the Nazarene.
Don't you love Jesus tonight? Do you really love him? I sang that little song, Fill My Way with Love, can we?
As I walk, blessed Lord, in the way thou hast gone, leading straight to that land up above. Let me sing, blessed Lord, all the way to that shore. Fill my way every day with God's love.
Sing.
Oh, fill my way every day with God's love. As I walk with the heavenly dove, oh, let me go all the while with a song and a smile. Fill my way every day with God.
Can you sing it again?
Fill my way every day with God's love. As I walk with the heavenly dove, oh, let me go all the while with a song and a smile. Fill my way every day with God's love.
You love the Lord? Let's sing one more chorus together, can we? I like this little chorus we sang so many times. And we'll give the glory to Jesus. You know, the glory belongs to God. All of the glory belongs to Him. Let's sing it together now.
And we'll give all the glory to Jesus. We'll sing about God's love. We'll sing about God's love. Oh, we'll give all the glory to Jesus. And we'll sing of His wonderful love.
Sing it again now.
Oh, we'll give